Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, all of everyone here in Blog Talk Radio Land. God bless you, each and every one. It is a beautiful day. Today, we are coming just to say, first of all, let's start by saying, thank you, Jesus, for just lifting us up, waking us up, taking us through another day to bring us to this point and this day for this year, this time. You know, you were born at this time for a purpose. It just did not happen. You're here for a reason for this time. Some people say, well, you know, I don't think I could have survived in yesteryear. So I don't think I can survive in the future years that are coming. Everything is getting too advanced. Right now, while you're alive, can you just take out the time and say, thank you, Jesus? And today, I want to remind you and ask you the question, what are you doing in the time that God has given to you? How are you taking advantage of that? How are you enjoying life, enjoying your peace? God has something for you. He wants you to enjoy life and enjoy it by doing something, sharing something. I'll be right back with you. God bless you. Get your pen, get your Bible, and let's study the Word of God. Evangelist Vaughn Dumas coming to you from San Antonio, Texas, where right now we're having beautiful weather. And God bless each and every one of you that may be struggling in different areas of your life. Tonight is just to relax and just let go. Let's just bring it to the altar and let's leave it there. We're going to start with our scripture. Right after scripture, we're going to go straight into prayer. And then we're going to go and just talk and see what God has us for tonight. Something that's going to strengthen you. Something that's going to allow you to sleep tonight. Not just rest, sleep. Something that's going to carry you through the night where God can speak to you. Even in your dreams, He's still there with you. When He said He would never leave you, I mean He would never leave you. He will walk and talk with you even in your dreams. That is so cool. Let's be a part of what God has for us tonight. Sister Tatiana, you ready?
Yes, ma'am.
Scripture.
I'm going to read 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not envy. It is not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part of the prophecy in part, but when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish ways behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection in our mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the reading of the word. And I just want to thank every listener. God bless every listener of the word. Dear Father, we honor you and we glorify you. We just want to magnify your name. And we just want to tell the world that you are God. We just want to tell the world that there is none like you. We just want to tell the world that you are our beginning and you are our ending. I just want to tell the world of your goodness. I just want to tell the world of your grace. I want to thank you right now for your love. I want to thank you for your direction, dear Father. I just want to thank you for your comforting arms around me. I thank you that my mind is in your heart, that my mind is in your hands, that my life is in your heart, my mind, my life, my family. All of my thoughts, dear Father, is directed by you. You have been invited to come and be the one that decides what is allowed to stay in my brain and what thoughts needs to pass through. I thank you that I have someone that I can come to, that I can offer up my days, that I can dedicate my life that you've given to me. I can dedicate it back to you, dear Father, and I can put you in charge of my thoughts, and I can put you in charge of my family, and I can put you in charge of my finances and all of my friends and all of my family. I don't have to worry about their safety or their needs being provided, but I can come to you, dear Father. And I'm not saying it for any shape, form, or fashion, but I really thank you, Jesus, for that opportunity. I thank you, Jesus, for that opportunity. And I want to take out time to thank you for all of those, dear Father, who have stood today and have not once said thank you just for the breath that is in their bodies, have stood today and said thank you to any other objects and any other things and people, but have not said thank you to you for food on their table. Hallelujah. For transportation. Their safety. I just want to thank you for them, Jesus. I thank you for going inside of the homes, dear Father, where there appears to be no love and just loving anyway. Thank you for going inside of the nursing homes, the prison walls, dear Father. Oh, and being that comforting ear to someone, dear Father, who just crying out. Thank you for letting them feel your presence tonight, dear Father. I ask you to bless every preacher and teacher and leader that is called by your name, chosen by you, doing the will of God, standing against the enemy, dear Father, in a time like it is that we're living in today, and showing the good news through all of the destruction that we see around us. But the good news is prevailing. The good news is still healing. Your good news is still putting a smile on somebody's face tonight. And I said, thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for putting me in that opportunity, for giving me the opportunity to serve you, Jesus, for giving me the opportunity to walk with you, Jesus, for giving me the opportunity to meet your children, dear Father. Hallelujah. And tell someone that there is hope, to be a living vessel, to be a living witness, that someone can look at my life, dear Father, and decide that I'm going to trust in the God that she trusts in. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for all that you said and all that you've done. I thank you, dear Father, for having a place already prepared for us that when we leave this place, we only got to die once. I thank you for being that example for us and going ahead and showing us that you've already taken the sting out of death and you have a place prepared for us. I thank you, dear Father, for the presence around us daily. In your darling Son's name, less of me and more of you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, today is the birthday of James Marquis Dumas. He would have been 27 years old on today. And I just thank God just for, again, just for going ahead of us. Even before we was ever created, he already had went ahead and prepared a place for us that when we do what he said we all must do, and that shed this earthly body and our spirits have somewhere to go. He said, I have prepared a place for you. And so I just thank God that where he is, that now James is with him also, enjoying rejoicing in his presence. Hallelujah. So happy birthday, James. And I know that your new birthday was really on August 4th when you actually departed from this life here and went to be with your Heavenly Father forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. That's your new birthday. And here on earth, we're still looking at the birth date that when you came here. Happy birthday again. It's been over a year and a half. God bless you and keep you. Hallelujah. How quickly time passes. It just keeps going. It doesn't stop. What are we stopping for? What are we hesitating for? Why are we getting stuck in situations that keep us away from moving forward? Nothing else is slowing down. Nothing else is stopping. We have to learn to keep going, keep moving. And we have to learn that in the midst of our turmoils and in the midst of our pain, we have to find God's peace. Because Philippians 4:7 tells us, sisters and brothers, it says, and the peace of God, the peace of God. It's not about you arguing about your denomination. It's not about you arguing about what God will do for you and he won't do for others, because that's not God. That's not the way he works. But the peace is what we should be getting from him. It says the peace of God. And that peace which passeth all understandings. That means that when you're in the midst of that, and when you know that you couldn't make it out, you know that you wouldn't be able to make anything, any sense out of this. Instead of getting stuck on the why did this happen to me? Why did I not get the promotion? Why am I not married? You find a peace that will give you just understanding that even though I don't understand it all, I can trust God through it all. I can what? Trust God through it all. I trust him to give me my peace. So again, Philippians 4:7 tells us, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, it shall keep your heart, it shall keep your mind through Christ Jesus. Now, I know it's time we look around us and it's people that try to give us peace and they try to keep our hearts and they try to tell us what it is that we should be thinking. But if it's not lining up with Jesus Christ, it's just destroying you, carrying you in an opposite direction. So what you're looking for is that peace of God. Find yourself. Which passes all understanding. That same peace of God is what's going to hold you and keep you. Keep your mind and keep your heart through Jesus Christ. We all need it. We can't live without it. We all need it. Hallelujah. We need to be surrounded by the peace of God. When you pray in a way that leads to praise, when you pray, you should pray in a way that leads you to thanksgiving to God. And then you'll start to experience the peace of God. And we have to move ourselves away from just praying to ask for more. Praying to ask for more. He said that we should bring all of our requests to him. That is true. But we have to learn to start moving our way into a way of praise. Just pray, just praising him. Praying just into thanksgiving for what he's already done. I can't. You can't. We cannot list all of the things that he's doing for us right now. For we see not all of the ways that he's blessing us right now. Yeah, we can look around and see that for the ones who are in shelter right now, we can look and say, thank you, Jesus, for our shelter. The ones who have transportation or our families are alive, and the different obvious things that our natural eyes can see, but it's so much more beyond that that he's doing for us right now. He has so many angels out there sent with a message to protect us right now. It's so many things that could be going wrong with us right now, but instead of we're able to sit back and laugh and watch TV and do other things that even we don't even pay attention to our lives. But he always has us on his mind, and he always has us first, and he's always watching out for us. So we need to pray in thanksgiving, and then we will start to experience the peace of God, the true peace of God. And now when that peace of God comes on to you, that's when you just get in a zone. You just start to rest in God. You just start to rest in God. So when the next tragedy comes, when the next thing comes that disappoints you, you say, I'm already resting in God. Now, the Amplified translation of Philippians 4 and 7 says that the peace of God will garrison and mount guard over your heart and your mind. That means your mind is what gets you in trouble. You know that? Well, the peace of God will garrison and mount guard over your mind when you pray. Supplicate and give thanks. Make a special note of that. Hallelujah. It will mount guard over your mind. Because you want to do the right thing, but your mind would lead you into another direction. You got to give God permission to give you the peace that will garrison and mount guard over your mind when you pray. It is as though you were in the middle of a circle of three people. Can I get you to just imagine this with me for a minute? And if an intruder tries to get to you, he could not get to you because those people would protect you. Well, the enemy will try to get to you, sisters and brothers. The enemy will try to get you out of the circle of peace because he knows if he doesn't get you out of this, you're going to be in the rest of God. Again, if you stay in the peace of God, you're going to learn to just rest in God. It means you're not wearing, your blood pressure is not up for every little thing that goes on. You will find yourself in the peace of God, and you will rest in God. So the enemy will try to get you out of that circle. He don't want you to find that peace of God. He don't want you to get comfortable and resting and trusting in God. Because if you're in the rest of God, that's when your faith is working. And see, if your faith is working, then God will move on your behalf. Amen? And if your faith is working, then it's going to release the power of God. Hallelujah. Jail-opening power. Shackle-falling-off power. Deliverance. Power, healing power, all glory to God. Glory to God. Again, let's just go back. If you can just pray and get yourself in the peace of God, stay in that circle for the peace of God. If you find the peace of God, you'll begin to rest in God. And if you begin to rest in God, my sisters and brothers, your faith will just start to work. Just keep on trying it. I know when you start to pray, he's going to try to distract your mind. But ask God for the word that he just gave us to put a guard over your mind to allow you to pray and to find his peace in your prayer. Ask God to then lead your peace into the rest of him. when you start to get into the rest of God. Oh, hallelujah. That's when your faith starts to work. And when you start to gain your faith and your faith starts to working on behalf of you, then God will move on your behalf. And when your faith starts to work, that's when it starts to release the power of God. Anybody know what the power of God will do for you? The power of God will lift you up when the world says you should be down. The power of God will lift you up with a smile on your face when they just told you that your place of employment is closing down. The power of God will lead you and guide you right back into that church home when someone in there has done you wrong. The power of God will get you on your knees when someone else has done something that makes you want to stand up and fight. The power of God. Hallelujah. Now here it is. You're praying, and here you are, so you're thanking God. So the enemy comes frontally, and he can't get in that way. So he'll come on the right side. If he can't get in from the front, here, now he goes. He's coming from the right side. And he finds that he can't get in that way because peace is surrounding you, my sisters. Oh, my brother, peace is surrounding you. And you'll find yourself in situations where, wow, it could have happened. If I hadn't have been in prayer, I could have been in that situation. Dear Father, why am I? Is it me that made it out of here? I was doing the same thing a year ago. Thank God. Peace surrounds you. So then he'll come in from the left. And when he finds out that he cannot enter in because of that same peace, that peace is now just not surrounding your mind, but it surrounds your heart. When God touches you, he changes your heart, your mind, and your heart. And as long as you stay surrounded, as long as you surround yourself with the peace of God, you are surrounded with something that the world cannot penetrate. The enemy cannot penetrate. And when you refuse to be worried, when you refuse to be anxious about anything, oh, I'm preaching to myself. When you refuse to be fearful and you pray, supplicate, give thanks to God, you get his protection. You get his surrounding, surrounding your mind, surrounding your heart. He surrounds your family. And the enemy can't get through that anointing. The enemy can't fight through that anointing. So it's not enough to just pray, my sisters and brothers. It's not enough to just pray. But I remind you as we close that you must pray and supplicate. Bring in all of your requests to God. And give thanks. You got to be in a mindset where you're ready to give thanks. Give thanks to God, for God is good. God is good always. We should live in thanksgiving. Give thanks. You also need to make sure that each and every day, you stop and just don't let the world start. Don't let your day start without giving thanks to God for touching you, waking you up. So some of us need to make sure that you get caught up on your Thanksgiving. Some of you need to turn off the TV, turn off the radio, and just go down and say, God, here I am. I'm before you. I just want to get my enjoyment from you today. I don't want to find any falsified enjoyment today from any other source, any other person. Married couples, you need to find you somewhere that you can steal away from your spouse. And just find you somewhere that you can go in prayer. Let nothing separate you from the love of God. And when it's so big, it's, you know, God will shut your mouth. He will close your mouth when you just can't even speak to a lot of things. A lot of situations he won't even allow you to speak upon. But he'll bring it back to mind when you're in prayer with him. He'll give you some answers to things when you're in prayer with him. you need to get caught up on your Thanksgiving. You've been praying for years, but thanking God for minutes. People say, I'm always praying, but how much are you thanking God? Been praying for years, but thanking God for minutes. Take the time right now to just pray. Take the time to pray in supplication, to give thanks to God. And thereby you will surround yourself in God's peace. You will surround yourself in God's peace. As we close, let's look at the book of John. We're going to go to John 14, and let's just do 27. Let's see here. John 14, 27. Amen. John 14, 27 reads and says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. So do you understand what he's saying here? The Holy Spirit is speaking directly to you and I, saying, peace, I leave with you. It's for us, right? He said, the peace I give unto you. And then he reminds us that there's going to be false peace. It's going to be false peace appearing as real. It's going to be the world is going to try to give you something and it's bottled up and it's labeled as peace. But it's false. It's not real because he tells us, he says, I do not give to you as the world gives. So do not let your heart be troubled and don't be afraid. So what that tells me right there, sisters and brothers, is the bottle that you're looking at right now that's labeled as peace, it will trouble your heart. If you partake of that so-called peace, it will make you afraid. It will instill fear inside of you. It will trouble your heart. You're going to be worse than where you started. If you allow yourself, and many times to go purchase, the money that God has given to you, go purchase, give it away for false peace. This is the word. This is not Evangelist Vaughn. This is the word. He said the peace that the world is offering to you, sister, my brother, you can put that pipe down. You can even throw down your cigarettes. You can go ahead and get rid of that bottle. And you can get rid of that naughty friend that's giving you all of that so-called good advice. Because that advisor will give your heart troubles. That advisor will give you fear, false evidence that appears to be real at the time. You're saying, it makes sense to me that that could be true. He says, my people perish from lack of understanding. Again, my people perish from lack of understanding. I advise you. Let's get on the real. Let's get all of that out of our lives. Let's move it out of the way. God has the real deal for you. He has real peace. He has real hope. He has real understanding for you. He has real joy. He has real healing. He has real deliverance. I dare you to try him. I dare you to try him. God is a real God. God is a living God. And if you haven't tried him, this is your time. So, God, I want to know you for the God that's a living God. I want to know you for the God that's a breathing God, the God that's life through my spirit, the God that would show me and direct me. Hallelujah. The God that would have given me the answers through his word. Teach me how to find your answers. In Romans 5 and 1, it talks about the peace and joy. Romans 5 and 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ.
says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. Christ died for the ungodly. So it doesn't matter where you're at. Christ died for you. Hallelujah. Christ died for you. You have the same rights as I do. And we often look at the world and we're put up on pedestals according to the job that God has given to you or you or I. But remember, regardless of how God is working in our lives, He's working in our lives, each and every one of ours. It may be different ways, but it's all to edify the kingdom. And that's how we identify. If it's not edifying and glorifying God, it's not of God. It's not of God. Hallelujah. So don't be jealous of what someone else's gift. Don't get all turned around and think that God is only going to use them to do something. It's not my job. I can be a center of the world. I don't have to conform to what's going on. That's what the preachers and the teachers are supposed to be doing. You are a minister. Every day of your life, you're ministering to somebody. What are you ministering to them is up to you. But you're held accountable for everyone that is around you every day and how you're ministering in their lives. Whether you're doing it or whether you're just ignoring it, you will give account of every second that you did not adhere to the word of God. But you are responsible for what you're doing in your life. You are responsible for all of those that you're in contact with. Because it's not by happenstance. God has them in your life for a reason. Let's take a look at Colossians 3. Verse 15 says, let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. And as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your heart to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So it says, let the peace of God rule in your heart. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. Now that questions a lot of things that's going on with us right now. That means there's a lot of different things in our lives right now that we have to stop and adjust, readjust ourselves. We have to stop and remind ourselves that we got a lot of catching up to do. It's a lot of things that we need to go back and thank God for then. It's a lot of times when we're boasting and we're thinking that we're bad and we're thinking that we can handle this ourselves. That's a slap in the face. You cannot handle it. You can't even live by yourself. That's why God put other people here with you. You do need someone else. You do need someone else's opinion. Wars and rumors of more wars. Yeah, we can turn on the TV, we can read the newspapers and the internet, and we can hear of all the international wars, and we can hear of all of the things that are going on, and we can say that's just horrific. But I beg you to bring it home. Look inside of your heart. All of those thoughts that are going on that is against God. All of those people that you're refusing to trust in. All of those people that you're refusing to forgive, you are establishing a bigger battle in your mind right now. All of the things that you're feeling, so this person's looking at me this way and you're not dealing with it. When you're not dealing with your fears, that's a war. That's a battle zone right there. And you have all of those that you're ministering to daily that you're passing that on to. When you're not looking at the situation that's going on with your spouse, your loved one, inside of that church home right now, preachers, leaders, and teachers, when you're sitting back and then your heart is just building up more hatred and hatred for the situation and you're not dealing with it by bringing it to God, asking God to help you, trusting in God, asking for his peace and his directions of which way to go, and you decide, I know how to deal with this. I just do this and I just do that. You're not following by the word of God according to Colossians. Because 3 and 15 said we should let the peace of God rule. And the peace of God needs to rule in your heart. And when you're just choosing when you're going to decide that you want the peace of God to show and when you're not, then you have just purchased false peace. It just may appear to you that it's working for a minute to close yourself away from that situation. But believe me, it's going to come right back around to you again, and you're going to find yourself in that same spot again because you never dealt with it to start with. And you're saying, why is this always happening to me? Why is people always saying this about me? Why is this same situation keep happening year after year? Or you will find yourself in a situation of self-pity where you can say, it's been like that all of my life. And you go on some talk show to tell them, I've always had this issue. It's been like that all of my life. And so I just kind of adjusted to it. Unloose that adjustment belt. God is not trying to get you comfortable in that situation. Untie that knot around your neck, that noose, that you're just tightening each day that you decide not to deal with this. Every day, unloose those shackles from your ankles. They will not allow you to go do the will of God, will not allow you to go where you need to go, to deal with business, to talk to someone, look them eye to eye, and keep peace in your heart regardless of what comes out of their mouth. God will give you that peace. If you're afraid that it's going to anger you, pick up the peace and put on that coat of peace before you go in there. But that means you got to take some time, and you got to be with God. And you got to allow him to give you that peace. And when you get that peace, then you start to rest in that peace. And when you start to rest in that peace, then your faith starts to work. And when that faith starts to work, and then God starts to work on your behalf. And when God starts to work on your behalf, he starts to release the power, his power. And then his power starts to release that regardless of what that other person is saying, you're just still standing and trusting and believing that whatever it is that you know that God wants it to work out in that way that he told you is going to work out, you're saying regardless of what you say, I know that this is the way God's going to work it out. You're able to keep not a fake smile, but a smile on your face. You're able to keep peace in your heart. And something around about them will start to change however God wants it to, whenever way and however he wants it to. But no man can stand up there and hold up a wall unless you give him permission to. But once you release that thing, God will start to work on your behalf. He will release his power in your life. And those shackles will start to just fall down. Deliverance will start to just come your way. You'll start seeing your children acting different. You'll start seeing the things and the people that was you've been praying to get in position for your life will just start to come up to you. Those doors will just start to open. The enemy's still going to be there, trying to come in the front, trying to come in the back, trying to come in the left and the right. But remember, you're surrounded by the peace of God. Remember, you're surrounded by the love of God. Remember, you're surrounded. God has angels and angels and angels and angels just assigned to you. Remember, the anointing of God cannot be penetrated. Not only can he not break through, but he can't even penetrate. So when you feel like something is pushing, just remember, you can't even penetrate. Don't get all excited because you're feeling that push. Don't get all excited because you just heard someone just called you with some bad news or what you think is going to be bad news. Don't get all excited about that. That's just the enemy trying to push. But remember that I am surrounded by the word of God. I'm surrounded by his anointing. I'm surrounded by his peace. I'm surrounded by his rest. I'm surrounded by his faith. I am a child of God. I'm living a child of God's life. I'm walking in a child of God's word. I'm standing on the child of God's word. I believe it. I receive it. And it's mine. And I know that it's a daily battle. But as long as I'm alive, I'm going to hasten to the throne. Because he's my all in all. The Lord is my protector. He giveth to me because he loveth me. He shows me the right way because he's concerned for me. Remember, my sisters and brothers, as we close, that which is painful to the body may be profitable to the soul. So, yeah, it's a little painful for you to get out and go talk to that person, to go handle that situation, because you don't know how the other people's going to react. They may flip out on you, but it's okay. You go in the peace of God, and he'll show you something. Right now, that's just happening because you're trying to go out there yourself. Flesh is going out there, flesh meeting flesh. But when you go out there covered, your flesh is not just open and raw. You said, let God do it. Now, I know that you're saying, but I want to do it. I don't want them to think I'm a punk. I want to be the one that stands the ground. Let them come up to me. You'll never get over it. You'll be an old man still going through the same situations. But it's going to come a point in your life when you're going to get tired of that. You're tired now. You just don't know what else to do. You think you're supposed to be Big Bad Willie. You think you're supposed to fight everything. You think everybody's supposed to fear you. Fear is not respect, and it never will be. Fear is not respect. Your wife will never respect you because she fears you. Your children don't respect you because you're up in their ear talking 24 hours a day to them, yapping and complaining about everything that they're doing wrong. That's not respect. That's fear. People can't work under you and do a good job if they in fear of you. So because you are the leader of that job and you're pouncing out and you're saying this and that and you're not giving them anything to respect you for, and you wonder why they don't produce. You wonder why they can't get anything. You wonder why, husband, that the wife doesn't get rejoiced, don't show joy when she see you. She don't do the little things that she used to do. Kids can't get the grades. They can't get anything going right because they don't respect you. You're instilling fear inside of you, inside of them. It may not be your intentions, my sir, my ma'am, but that's where you're at. You're purchasing what looks like peace. And that label may say peace. But if you turn it around and you look at the small print, it's just false evidence appearing real. But God has real peace for you. And if you do not know the best friend that you ever need in this life, I invite you to take a moment now. Just repeat after me. Dear Father, I come to you with a humble heart, and I believe, God, that you are the creator of all things, including me. I believe that you have plans for me. I believe that you gave your only son and that he died for me and that my sins will be covered and that I would have a right to come back and live with you for eternity. And I accept you as my Lord and Savior. I confess with my mouth that I am a sinner. I invite you to come live inside of me. Make me a new creature in you right now. I want to trust in you. I want to rest in your love. I want to rest in your peace. God, I love you. Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, you are a new creature in Christ. And all of the old things that you used to do, the old ways that you used to handle the situations, stop. Think about it. The next situation is coming. Remember, you're going to rest in God. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. are 210-253-9093. This is Evangelist Von Dumas, and I love you because God loves you more. We're here for you. Good night.